Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to a podcast, maybe not the one that you're thinking of listening to. It's me, Dan, and I'm here with...
We're doing the... I have an old quote.
Oh, I don't have a quote.
I have a ton of old quotes.
This is all staying in.
This is definitely
well, it's good.
Here, I'm going to get my old quote because I've been waiting for months.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the hell my quotes are anymore.
How does my phone work? I've been sitting in this basement waiting for you guys.
Yeah. It's me, Dan, and I don't have a quote this week, but I'm here with, as always...
my name is Casey Lyons, and they even let the birthday boy fly the plane. There were no survivors.
My name is Greg LeGros, and let me just recap right now. It's Brainy Gremlin, Spider Gremlin, Bat Gremlin, Lady Gremlin, Googly Eye Gremlin, Electricity Gremlin, Hulk Hogan's going to be in the picture. I'm going to throw in a gremlin myself, Vegetable Gremlin. Just write it up and have so much fun. It's going to be an actual film. No, I got to go put some cowboys back into Back to the Future 3. Sayonara, y'all.
Oh, my God. And I'm Dan again, and I found my quotes. Someday you'll have my children. In fact, they're in the car if you want them. This is not See You Next Wednesday. You may be expecting it, but this is an announcement before we release a new episode of Time Bandits. We will be relaunching Time Bandits, and so you will eventually have to move over there on the RSS feed, but today you get a whole episode in the See You Next Wednesday feed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why are we doing this?
Because we don't have time to do See You Next Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
The whole crux of the show is we can't do it right now. Yeah. If we can't do it right, then we shouldn't be doing it.
It's about having a life outside of your home, which we don't have.
We don't have. As soon as our kids are a little bit older and we can go to the movie theater like regular fucking people, then we'll get back to See You Next Wednesday. But in the meantime, I don't know, maybe people don't remember that we used to do a podcast called Time Bandits.
Maybe people didn't even notice we were gone.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, Time Bandits, we go back in time, we talk about movies, we talk about a little bit of music.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this and you want to go hear all of the episodes of Time Bandits and the new ones, just make sure you go to anchor.fm/time-bandits. Mm-hmm. So you can find us. And the fun thing about that is if you go to anchor.fm/time-bandits, you can, on your phone, send us a voice message to Time Bandits. And you can be like, I disagree with you. I want you to cover this movie, et cetera.
I think you guys sound cute.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah. Before we jump into the episode, do we want to explain the differences in the new Time Bandits?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Yeah. We weren't going to have a guest for every episode because we can barely get together ourselves.
And we used to do movies and albums celebrating a 25th anniversary.
But
times have changed.
Yeah, we started it because originally was a segment on See You Next Wednesday. Yeah, 1987 was just full of great shit, great movies, fun things to talk about, and so we started doing the 87 throwback segment on See You Next Wednesday. But our show was getting, it was too much.
Like we were talking about
too many fucking things, so we're like, let's just do another show. Yeah. This is what people with no kids say. It was great. We had a lot of fun, but then we slowly didn't have time for that, and here we are now.
Yeah.
So we aren't going to have guests anymore, but we are going to have the three of us. We're starting in that decade because it's the most fun. It's the VHS boom, but so we're starting at the beginning of the decade. We're starting in 1980, and we will not be doing a full album review every episode. Instead, each one of us is going to pick a song from the month of the release of the album we're doing. and have one song that we talk about that's going to go on the Time Bandits mixtape playlist, which will be released monthly as well with the episode.
Yeah, it'll be
so
in
you
the
got
notes.
A playlist you can listen to, and it'll have the three songs we talk about plus another, say, 8 to 10, just as a little playlist for you to listen to, just of stuff that came out in the same month as the movie we're talking about.
Give you something to listen to for the month on top of the episode.
Yeah.
Which is going to be good.
It's going to be great.
And if you are starving for that See You Next Wednesday content, you know, we've been lost in time for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So before we go back in time, every episode we'll say one thing that we are thankful for in modern pop culture. Or,
yeah, it'll be an itty bitty tidbit committee.
That's right.
Yeah, if we're watching something.
Kind of, You'll feel it'll still feel like us. Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
It'll still be three idiots who don't know what they're talking about.
You know. So that URL again is anchor.fm/time-bandits. If you're on Spotify, type in Time Bandits, you'll find the feed there. But otherwise, go to that URL. You'll find everywhere that you can find us.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to Time Bandits. Time Bandits is the podcast where we go back in time 40 years to the year 1980. We will talk about a movie from that year, a little bit of music from that year. It's the Ruby anniversary. My name is Greg LeGros and I'm looking at Dan Gorman. What's the score, babe?
$2 million. Dollars, that is.
Neat. I'm moving my eyeballs over here and at the end of them is Casey Lyons. What's the score, babe?
Podcaster zero, technology even less.
Oh, well, here we are, back lost in time for many moons, thwarted by technology in our first attempt to do this correctly.
Yeah, yes. And if you're listening to this, we did it.
Yeah. If not, then we'll...
Oh, see you another day.
Technology beat us.
So we are back with Time Bandits after a very long hiatus.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. We've been lost in time. You two look terrible.
Yes, I... feel terrible.
I've retained my youthful looks.
So we're going to be going to 1980.
40 years.
For this season, we'll call it, I guess. And then we'll move on to 81. It'll be a little bit different if you remember the old show. No guests, just us three. I'm not going to do a full album. We're going to talk about a song each at the end of the episode. That'll be on our monthly Time Bandits mixtape playlist.
Yeah, check the notes in the release. You'll see a link there to the Spotify playlist.
You will.
Give you something to listen to.
Mm-hmm. For our See You Next Wednesday listeners, we will still be doing some tidbits off the top, talking about some current things that we like, one thing each, and then we get in a time machine and we get the fuck out of here, man.
Being lost in time has made us fond for the things that we left behind, so we'll talk about something that we've been listening to or watching now. Here's the thing.
Yeah, what's up?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So we just got past the Oscar season.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been a lot of great movies that have been highlighted, some greater than others.
Yep.
I'm going to talk real quick about a movie that I think deserved to be nominated for things and wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It is a film from 2019 called The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah. Oh,
and
is that a LaBeouf joint?
Yes. So it stars Dakota Johnson and Shia LaBeouf. And it also stars a actor named Zach Gottsagen.
Yeah.
And this is a young man with Down syndrome.
They were at the Oscars together.
Yes, they presented together. And the directors of The Peanut Butter Falcon met him at a camp for actors. And Zach really wanted to be in a movie. So they wrote this movie around him and around kind of his hopes and dreams of being a star. And then they got Shia LaBeouf on board and John Hawkes and Thomas Hayden Church and many other people. And it's just this story about this fisherman who meets this young man who has escaped from an elderly home where he is being taken care of by Dakota Johnson because it's the only place that they have for him. And they go on like a little journey. And it is really great because it doesn't condescend. And it is kind of one of those movies where, you know, they go on a little journey and they learn about themselves and stuff. But Zach himself is just so amazing in this movie. I felt like he should have been nominated. It's funny, and it left me feeling really good, left me in a really good mood, and I felt like it was well directed. It's just a really great, solid movie, and I just think it was overlooked a little bit. And so if you're in the mood for kind of a sort of funny drama, this is a really good one. It'll make you happy, and it'll, you know, lift your spirits a little bit.
Yeah, I've only heard good things about it.
Might make you shed a single tear, but yeah, it's really charming. Again, Zach is so good and so funny. And I think one of the reasons why it works so well is because Shea and Zach have this great chemistry. You can tell that they are kind of building the movie around Zach in a way that lets him have these kind of real moments on camera where he, you know, is a little bit unpredictable in his line readings and maybe unpredictable in the things that he says. And then Shea has to kind of just go with it. And it's really charming and really fun and really honest. And yeah, it's a really good movie.
He plays a guy who loves wrestling, right? Like he wants to be a wrestler.
He wants to be a wrestler. And Thomas Hayden Church is this kind of wrestling character he really needs to go see. And so they go on a journey to get there. Yeah, it's really charming, really good. Definitely deserved a little bit more. Like, I don't think it would, like, take home Best Picture or something, but, like, a script nomination or Zach, it would be really nice to see him. Yeah, I just thought it was really good.
Nice. That's great.
So check it out, Peanut Butter Falcon. Okay. It's worth checking. Casey?
What?
You got a song for us?
I don't know.
maybe
sing a little jingle?
Yeah. Do you want to sing us a little song?
Peanut Butter Falcon. The most delicious of all the birds.
My little thing. I'm going to actually switch it up.
Okay.
My little thing that I'm going to, from current day, is I've been listening to a podcast.
Yes.
From Wondery. And, everybody loves Wondery podcasts. It's like the biggest thing these days. But their latest podcast is called We Crashed. It is fucking wonderful because it's basically about this guy who came from Israel to New York, really wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so he started, he had a couple failed ventures, and then he started WeWork, which is basically a shared office space kind of a deal. And it's basically about how a dream and a vision, when, improperly executed, can just go so horribly wrong. And it's absolutely wonderful and entertaining. And this guy is like, dude, what are you doing? But then you also see a type of personality that excels at business. And generally it's sociopathic, but it's a type of person who's not afraid to fail big.
Yeah.
And when somebody who's kind of less experienced with that kind of goes, oh, that's what I need to do, but doesn't have the shit to back it up,
yeah,
then everything can go horribly wrong. It's a really fascinating story. So I highly recommend We Crashed.
All right on. We Crashed.
Yeah.
Greg?
Well, I want to tell the story of the time that my wife and I met up with Dan Gorman at 9:30 in the morning to smoke weed and watch Cats.
Yes. it happened.
The movie.
Yeah.
Not the animal.
Like, if it had just been Cats.
Look at these Cats.
Be even better.
Hey. Might have been better. I don't smoke weed all the time, but every once in a while. And hey, it's legal so
now.
Fuck off. Not?
Nobody was. Who do you think is judging you?
My mom.
The government.
That's not true. My mom smokes weed.
I was going to say.
It was Christmas holidays, 2019.
Yes. Yeah.
My daycare stays open while we're off from work, which is the best because we drop the kid off and then off you go to the movies all the time. It's very good. Caught up on all kinds of stuff. Saw some Parasite and some 1917. It was
nice.
Great. Mm-hmm. But I needed to know what was going on with the Cats movie. It was like the first like week or so that it had been out too. So I really like all the critics' reviews were so fucked up. I'm like, this sounds like a fucking flaming shitstorm, and I need to know.
Yeah,
you don't get the treat of something this bad that often. You gotta go experience it.
Exactly. So, and I'm glad we did.
I'm glad we did, too. We met in front of the theater at 9:30 in the morning, smoked from a pipe, and went inside.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Two things about this screening that stick out in my mind. One, it was the three of us and one other person.
Lady,
And I felt really bad, like, because we were laughing and stuff. We were not very, we weren't, like, loud or anything, but I wanted to be louder, but I was making myself.
I was very concerned about her too.
Because I was like, maybe this person just wants
high
to
impair and maybe, what if she knows, man?
Yeah, but also like
I don't want to ruin her theater experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to enjoy Cats.
I did not think anyone would be there. Yeah. I was fucking stunned that somebody was there alone.
Two.
Well, that's the thing. You can ruin her time. Yeah. She's not living her best life.
And then the second thing is,
she deserves it.
Weed wears off.
Yeah. Yes. It sure
and
does.
In the middle of the movie,
or it doesn't hit you enough. That was Athena's problem. She's like, I wasn't really high, so
yeah. Yeah. Like in the middle of the movie, I was kind of like, now I'm just watching Cats.
Thankfully, though, for that, it is totally insane. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Cats before live or anything like that, so I didn't know anything about the story or the fact that there isn't
or
a story.
Or the lack of a story.
That you just meet cats for a whole lot of time.
Which is
and then
delightful.
One of them's a magical murderer, it seems like.
What? Which one? Mephistopheles?
No. He's wonderful.
Is he?
Well, he's a good guy. Yeah. He's not wonderful.
Idris Elba?
McCafferty. McCafferty?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, McCafferty.
Because they all want to die. That's the thing. Is they're having like a big talent show and then winner gets to fucking die.
Go up to the big junkyard in the sky.
Everyone introduces themselves and sings their little jingle. And then he Thanoses them away, right? Yeah. Like they turn into dust. I thought they were all dying. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But he disappears with them too. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere about halfway through him, like we've seen him disappear a couple times, he starts saying something every time he disappears, like, meow!
McCafferty.
He says his own name once. McCafferty.
Yeah.
McCafferty?
But they're not dying. They just go to a boat.
McCavity.
McCavity.
Oh, okay, I recognize that.
McCavity.
Oh, and McCafferty is too big of a jump from McCavity.
I was like, what?
McCafferty's
not a cat's name, you idiot.
McCavity.
So they aren't dying anyway. He's just whisking them away to a barge. Where they gotta wait out the talent contest so he can win it. Which I don't know why.
I really liked experiencing the names, having only really heard like I knew Rum Tum Tugger.
Yeah, that was the only one I knew.
Oh, but God, so stupid.
I really liked that. Like, okay, Jenny Any Dots.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. like, please, for the love of God.
And
fuck
I was
off.
So, and I'm just, I remember being so incredibly confused trying to wrap my head around just the opening because of how many times they said Jellicle Cats.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that fucking mean? What does that mean? What does it mean?
Yeah.
And they never really get into it. And Athena and I were like, is it Angelical? Evangelical? Yeah. What are they talking about? Then later, like a week later, I saw that Jellicle is spelled with a J.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what anything is anymore.
No, well, what
it's supposed
it is,
to be like, oh, you're just a dear old cat.
It was T.S. Eliot's young niece.
Yeah, no, I know that whole thing. Is that where the Jellicle came from, too?
Well, yeah, because it's supposed to be, like, she was trying to say a dear old cat or a dear little cat.
Yeah.
She just really missed the mark.
And the kid was a fucking idiot. Turns out.
So it comes from the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kid said, oh, you're, and T.S., well, T.S. Eliot was also a delightful little imp, and he was like, ooh, it sounded like she said Jellicle.
Mm. Yeah. But that's so stupid. Well, don't write it into so many songs, or if you're not going to explain what it means.
And this is the thing, like,
Also, don't call a cat Rum Tum Tugger.
Yeah.
I made fun of Jenny Any Dots, and obviously the Cats musical gets all this stuff from T.S. Eliot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go back to the source and say, that sucks. Like, I'm not just making fun of the musical.
Yeah.
That's
a
dumb name for a cat for T.S. Eliot to have made.
The whole thing should never have happened.
Yeah, and then it's just, I was amazed with how much... The first thing you see is a silhouette of one of these little kitty cat people, and it's uncomfortable right away.
Yeah.
And it never stops being that way.
Yeah.
Every one you look at, you're like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
All of it.
Because you wanted to fuck those cats.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, they're all
horny.
It's got a horny vibe, this movie.
That's what I keep hearing. Hearing
everybody's
that it's so
like,
horny.
I'm going to fuck somebody.
And I'm like, how much of that is you putting that on the movie?
No, it sends his vibe up.
They're horned up.
Yeah, they're really horned up. There's a lot of shoulders.
For the listeners at home, Greg just made a little shoulder move, and now I'm horny.
Yeah. You're welcome.
And it was really disconcerting when Idris Elba's character, who wears like a coat the whole movie, took his coat off. And even though every other cat looked like he looked like,
it
was oddly shocking.
Naked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now they don't have like little cat balls and stuff. You know?
I wish.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't, when they were flipping around and stuff like that. And
you were like, I wish dong was flipping around.
They were so...
But aren't cat penises really weird?
I wish a weird cat dong was flipping around there.
So, the little red lipsticks coming out.
Do Do cats have dicks like dogs? They've got the same thing?
Yeah, they have a dog.
Because listen, I know what a dog's dick looks like.
That's a really interesting piece of trivia. People don't know that cats it's actually have dog thing. Dicks.
They steal them.
And one, I don't know how to bring this up, but anyway, at some point while I'm stoned watching this, I'm like, I know they're because they're rolling around and being whatever. I'm like, oh, they don't have little kitty buttholes. It's just all fur. Yeah. And then I was mad at the movie because I was like, why are you making me think about that? And then also, like, am I upset or happy that they don't have buttholes? I don't know why I'm thinking about the...
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, because a cat's butthole is fairly prominently displayed on a regular cat.
Yes, if you own cats, they got that stupid...
It's like second thing you notice on a cat.
It's so prominent, it's right where their butt is. And
I don't know if I would have been happier if they did have buttholes. Probably not.
I still am laughing at just the idea that they're so prominently... Why? Just because it's there where their butt is?
Yeah. Their tail is in the air as if to go like, here, look up here. Now follow the tail down.
Oops.
There's a surprise. There's a surprise in the end.
What's this? Is that a penny? No.
What kind of pennies do you have? Some weird ass looking pennies.
So the cat, no, I would definitely notice the lack of a butthole. I don't think I would lobby to
four
have
buttholes.
You know, somebody included. Somebody's like, where's the butthole? Some executive.
This movie's bullshit.
Yeah. You want to hit or not? You get some buttholes in this movie.
That's what the main problem is.
Fascinating how bad it was. I thought about it for weeks.
I liked Rebel Wilson, and she was terrible.
Everyone's
in this movie.
Terrible. Ian McKellen's terrible.
Yeah.
Judi Dench is terrible.
Literally, the only thing about this movie that is good is the one song, Memories. When that song plays, you're like, okay, this is a Broadway song. It's beautiful.
At the end of the movie, when Judi Dench breaks the fourth wall and stares at you.
I loved it.
I was so uncomfortable. Get me the fuck out of here.
Here's what's up with cats. Yeah. And some they're not dogs.
Cats aren't dogs. That's the point of the show. Cats ain't dogs. Bye.
Wow. What a twist.
Yeah.
I wish it did that.
Yeah. But I implore anyone listening, you watch this movie.
Get some friends together
when it turns
cats,
up streaming.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
Pretty entertaining.
Invent a drinking game. Yeah. I don't care what it is. Yeah. Just see how long you can last.
Yeah.
If you can make it to the end. You know you've won when Judi Dench looks into your soul. Tells you that cats aren't dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I have no idea.
It was a good time. You don't get that too often.
Yeah. So,
a mistake that enormous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hollywood.
So go check out Cats. Go listen to the podcast. What was the name of it?
We Crashed,
and check out the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah.
These are things that we love from right now.
Right now. But right now sucks, so let's get into a time machine.
Okay.
We're back, so obviously we start with a DeLorean.
DeLorean.
Yeah. You don't
the
go
classic.
Anywhere without yeah. yeah. Hop in the DeLorean, and let's go back to 1980.
Oh,
we're back. Oh. That's a weird noise.
I was thinking about those cats.
Time travel feels so good.
Everyone brought their buttholes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Here we are.
Extras.
In 1980.
August of 1980. Mm-hmm. We're in. You know, we could have seen anything in the theater in August 1980. Could have seen Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Too Smokey, Too Bandit.
Yeah. here, where's my list?
You mean your listings, your movie listings?
I'm looking through the
we got a newspaper right here.
In 1980.
Yeah. Just opening up. I was just reading the comics. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I saw Garfield's butthole.
We could have seen the Octagon.
Oh, nice. Chuck Norris narrating his own thoughts.
With whispers.
Yeah.
What's that over there?
Is that a ninja?
That's a ninja. Oh, my God.
I don't feel good.
Xanadu.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
biggest
we'll have to come back
going.
This month. Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, well, maybe we do have to come back here.
Yeah.
What's Loose Shoes? Oh, the poster has a tongue.
Loose Shoes is one of those like Kentucky Fried Movie style goof-em-ups that had a...
Oh, Bill Murray's
Bill
in
Murray
it.
In it briefly, and he was on the VHS of like all the covers, even though he's in it for like 1 second.
Anyway, it's like a bunch of fake trailers, I guess. Yeah, including movies called Skateboarders from Hell and The Invasion of the Penis Snatchers.
Yeah.
What?
That's hilarious.
They took their dicks.
Yeah,
like Body Snatchers, except all they did was take the dicks.
Okay, well then, was it replaced with an exact copy but evil dick?
Yeah, did they become the people's dicks?
Is the person the same and only the dick is Now,
do the dicks make that noise?
Is there a pod phase?
Yeah, where's the dick gestate?
Guys, he's in the corner. Anyway,
there's problems with this
that's
movie.
Maybe that's a movie we'll see sometime. But we didn't see any of those. We didn't talk about it at all, but it's Star Wars out there with the Rise of Skywalker. And so we're back in time to check out a nice Star Wars knockoff.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've called Battle Beyond the Stars.
Ruthless invaders, a defenseless planet. Battle Beyond the Stars. A lone youth escapes on a last-ditch mission that begins at the edge of the universe. The story of a boy who finds more than he expected.
Does your species have kissing?
Oh, yes. We have that.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Hell yeah.
A Roger Corman joint.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Directed by Jimmy T. Murakami.
Jimmy T.
Starring a lot of great people.
This is a star-studded
event. It is a pretty big cast going on here.
Richard Thomas, Robert Vaughn, George Pappard. Tons. This is a stacked cast.
Julia Duffy.
Sybil Danning.
Anybody? Julia Duffy?
No, she's so, I love her very much from Newhart.
Yeah, I always had a crush on Julia
Absolutely.
Duffy.
Absolutely.
And in case you were wondering, it is a battle beyond time and beyond space, as well as beyond the stars.
Yeah.
True?
No, not really. It's not even beyond not the stars. Happened. It seems to be like right there amongst them.
Yeah.
My opening score, $2 million, that's the budget for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
One of the biggest for a Roger Corman production at the time.
Right. Yeah,
they really were going for Star Wars with this.
Do you think they were?
But like Corman would maybe make something. They made a lot of ripoffs that were lower budget, but it was like, we got to put some money into this because this could be the one that makes a lot of money.
And written by John Sayles.
Yeah.
Written by John Sayles. Music by James Horner.
That kind of shocked me.
Let me tell you something about that $2 million. It's all there up on that screen.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it's not used as well as it could be, but it's all there.
But listen, could have been much worse.
Now, I've seen this movie, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie before for another podcast that I used to host with a couple of assholes. I don't want to get into it.
Where it was picked as a punishment film.
Yeah, and it turned out I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Because we were just like, what's a Star Wars ripoff? Here's one, because it was a Star Wars thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, those assholes did that.
Yeah. Right. All right. Spoiler alert. Dan and Greg were the assholes.
And I had not seen this movie until this podcast. And watching it, I was like, this movie rules.
It seriously rules.
It's pretty good.
A good chunk of that is John Sayles. Because if you look at John Sayles, his credits, he just makes these movies that are so economical and so just exactly what they need to be. Like, you go watch Alligator, you're like, this is the most badass alligator movie that's ripping off Jaws that it needed to be. It just rules.
Yes.
Or you go watch Piranha, you're like, that's exactly what this movie needs to be. It's funny, it's entertaining, it has awesome stuff in it, and then it gets out of the way.
Well, that's the thing. The plot of this movie is very slight.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what it was.
Well, there's an evil warlord who wants to take over a peaceful planet.
Yeah.
And so one of the denizens of that planet has to go and amass a team to fight this evil warlord. Yeah. And that's it. And that is literally literally exactly what happens.
And yeah. Like they 10 go, minutes into the movie, yeah, it's just like, okay, we got to go do this.
Yeah. And then they go and do that. They amass these people and then they go and fight the guy. The end.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
literally yeah, yeah, yeah. it. But there are also really fun concepts amongst like the people that they meet. Like there are fun concepts as to who they are and what their alien race is about and everything like that. That lends so much color to an otherwise absolutely A to B plot.
Yep. Totally.
That it makes this a really fun thing.
It is helped by the fact that, like you're saying, every time you meet somebody, it's like a new type of person with a new history that's hinted at, with a new effect and a new creature. And it's just always introducing things that are like the new shiny thing. We're like, hey, that's cool.
And you're like, oh, that's cool. And
that was the problem with Cats. There's just one cat after another. Yeah. Where this is like more aliens to meet. So when they stop meeting aliens and go to, you know, do the thing, I was like, oh, I wanted to meet a couple more aliens.
but it's so yeah, like it's absolutely very slight and shambly. It looks low budget.
Well, they got the cast and the ships look good. The space stuff looks good, but the sets, the actual places they are, look garbage.
Those look terrible, but like the external shots of the ships, they look like a bunch of plastic pieces glued together.
Yeah.
But in a cool way. Like they're glued together cool. They look like cool ships. Yeah. Especially the Nestor ship, the bright kind of green glowing one that looks kind of like a traditional UFO.
Yeah.
That thing is pretty
good. The shabbiness of it is a plus, I feel like.
Absolutely. Because it feels almost like a stylistic choice.
Well, I think there's some background to why it's so shabby. Like, because a lot of people know that James Cameron was involved in this movie. But there's some fun behind the scenes story of like, people were getting fired and he just was like getting like knocked up the rung. Yeah. And so it was like, I feel like he just kept having more and more that he had to do. Yeah. And then had it, like all of a sudden he has to do everything. And you get that sense with how cut corners some of the stuff looks like. But in that way where you're like, it's charmingly passionate.
Yeah.
And like they use things, they use a marked lack of budget to great effect sometimes. So when we meet Robert Vaughn, he's just sitting in a black room, in like a black void with some stuff around him.
Yeah.
But then they make up a fun backstory as to why that's true.
I know.
And you go, oh, cool. Then now his character has a lot more depth than his character should. He's a hero, but a dark hero.
Yeah.
And he's just, he adds just enough color against the backdrop of like the Nestors, which is like this cool hive mind of beings.
I got a question though about Robert Vaughn in that chair. Is he just sitting in that chair all day waiting for somebody to come?
Yeah,
because he's alone down there with some like rotting robot hookers.
Yeah.
And that's why he joins up. He joins up to fight the evil warlord because he's like,
I'm bored.
Nobody likes me and I'm lonely.
But does he sit in the chair all day like, oh, time to get to the chair and wait and see if someone shows up?
Yeah.
It's been a while, I feel like. I think he heard him come in and he was naked and like crying somewhere.
Oh
like,
shit, I gotta get in the chair. Yes, here I am.
I'm ready. Hello.
because I've
just been sitting here. I wasn't nothing with the prostitutes.
Yeah,
definitely not. Don't worry about them.
Well, speaking of prostitutes, if you like boobs, this is a movie for you because the spaceship is boobs.
I love that spaceship.
Yeah. Well, it's like three things. It's like boobs.
Yeah.
And a turd.
Yeah.
And the flathead guy from Star Wars, Mammon Nadon, him too.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hammerhead shark with tits.
Yeah, from the front, you're like, hey, that ship's got tits.
Yeah.
From the side, it's like, hey, those tits took a shit.
We have to stop podcasting now.
Yeah. From the front angle, it almost looks like testicles.
I can't handle it. Well, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, it's a ball sack. And then you see it again, you're like, oh, man, that thing's titties.
This movie has depth.
Yeah. And also, it has a booby lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was confused by her boobs because there's like with the way her outfit is cut, it's cut right across where there should have been a nipple. I don't know where that nipple went.
But she looked like a He-Man character.
Yeah. She was great.
Yeah.
And this movie was a lot more sexual than Star Wars.
Yeah.
There's a lot more talk about mating and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, the ship, Roger Corman was asking James Cameron about his design for a ship, and James Cameron was like, "It's a ship with tits."
Yeah.
And then Roger Corman was like, "You're in charge of the ship.
You're my ship guy.
You're hired.
I'm my ship guy."
That's so crazy.
I know. There's a direct quote. It's a spaceship with tits.
What the fuck?
Okay.
Yep.
You win.
Yeah.
You win the bid.
Because of this movie with the James Cameron connection, apparently he met his future wife and they produced together Terminator and Aliens.
Gail Ann Hurd.
We kind of have this to thank for some dope movies.
Yeah.
On top of this movie being good.
So basically that's all this movie is. Oh, but also, I mean, just in case you didn't get the very subtle Star Wars, this movie is full of wipes.
Yeah.
This movie is just wipe.
Yeah.
Diamond wipes. We got wipes that Star Wars hadn't even conceived of.
Yeah. It's just really delightful. And if I saw this movie when I was a kid, as a noted, not a big fan of Star Wars child, mm-hmm. I feel like if I had seen this, I would have spent a lot of my life being like, Battle Beyond the Stars is better than Star Wars.
Sure.
The same way that I go like, Monster Squad is so much better than Goonies, because that's the one I saw.
Yeah.
And I just feel like this movie, for a child, like a little boy that likes space and stuff.
Tits.
What else would I have needed?
I have to ask you guys if you've noticed this, and if you didn't, I implore you to go back, especially in this movie. I made a startling revolution. Revolution, did I?
Yeah.
You made a revolution.
Revelation. I made a revolution. I overthrew a government.
Mm-hmm.
I made a revelation about Richard Thomas Harris, John Boy. I made a startling discovery about him when he was younger. Just look at his face. He looks identical to Scarlett Johansson. It's fucking insane. Watch this movie again and just look at his face, and I swear to God, you think that
he's
you're looking at Scarlett
scar
Johansson, but just with a little thing on her face.
All right.
It's crazy.
Did you guys know Bill Paxton was one of the carpenters on the set for this movie?
Oh, really?
He was like hanging out being like, "Hey, Bill Paxton, I'll help you build these sets."
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So then I guess maybe that's where
Terminator.
I feel like this movie is such a confluence of people that just happen to then go and make so much amazing art.
Hey, and this is also likely where James Cameron met Earl Bowen, who then became the gross face-licking doctor in Terminator 2.
Yeah. The stuff that I read about James Cameron on this movie was he didn't go home. He slept on the set, put all of his effort
into everything.
Waited
forever to go home, and then he fucked that spaceship.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of what makes this movie charming is that idea that he was so involved behind the scenes.
Now, there's that point where there's the two guys flying around being dicks, and they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
And
I didn't like those guys.
No. Well, they turn it very horrible. But there's one point where they're chasing John Boy's ship, and then they decide to call it off because they should go back to their post. And it was like, well, because our orders were do this. Well, yeah, remember Lobo? He disobeyed orders, and now Sador's wearing his foot. And I was like, what the fuck did he just say? Wearing his foot. But then later they put an arm on. He takes an arm from the other guy. So.
Yeah.
Did they talk about this? Did I miss something?
No, I think I think you're just supposed to catch on to the fact that John Saxon sometimes steals your body parts and puts them on him.
Right. Yeah.
But that was a cool little thing.
Yeah.
When they put the arm on,
I was
into
it. Just the foot thing, I was like, what?
I like the fact that when they put the arm on him, because it was part of the hive mind people, they could control the arm, and that was kind of cool. Nothing became of it. Like, there's a lot of cool ideas that aren't really fully realized or used, because basically, in the end, you know, most of our people die, most of our ragtag group die. Without really contributing much.
No.
But, you know, on the plus side, scotch comes out of George Peppard's belt.
Yeah. It's a belt of scotch. Yep.
I have to go to sleep for a while. He basically pees scotch.
It really
and
looks
soda
like he's peeing into a cup.
And then drinking it, which is fucking awesome.
It's great. I'm so confused by him. Like, I mean, this is a great little, like, we need, like, a Han Solo. He was like that. He's like a cowboy. He's like, yeah. We need the cowboy.
But
so,
have
like,
you ever
we'll
noticed...
call him cowboy, and yeah. he's a cowboy.
He's a
he
cowboy.
Has a fucking Confederate flag on the side of his fucking ship.
Yeah. It's bananas. And
fuck?
Also, they're like, we need, like, a Han Solo, but my main problem with Han Solo is that he wasn't 68 years old.
Yeah.
Please get George Paparazzi.
Yeah, yeah.
All the people they go and get, you got Space Cowboy, mm-hmm. former mercenary, who's very, very sad, Robert Vaughn.
Yeah.
You have your hive mind people. You got Green Lizard Man.
Yeah, he's got an interesting story, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's just like a mercenary who will kill people for protein
yeah.
or whatever, but because he has a vendetta again, like he's yeah. about to kill the main love interest.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're fighting John Saxon? I fucking hate that guy. Let's go fight him.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
And then she's the first one he meets. She lives in a spaceship with her dad and a bunch of robots and has never met people before. One of the robots is like a Teddy Ruxpin. She throws a cassette in his chest and he starts singing some yeah. crazy song. And I was like,
that was weird.
yes. And then he shows up there and then he has to go talk to the dad. And the dad is now like cyborged himself. But I thought it was really funny. He walks into the room where the dad is and he's in like a big cone thing. And then it opens like a flasher. Like yeah. he's like, look at hi. Sorry, let me just show you what's under the robe. No, you should bang my daughter.
Yeah, and he literally was like, oh, no, hang out. Fuck my daughter.
Please.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot about procreation in this. Like, there's a lot specifically about, you know, propagating the species.
Yeah. Doesn't he want, like, to, like, inhabit that space station? He's trying to, like, repopulate the space station?
Is yeah, he just wants some yeah. kids around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He just needed somebody to yeah. fuck his daughter. And,
yeah.
And then he ends up, I think he ends up fucking the daughter anyway, so.
Yeah.
I really liked the inclusion of Nell, the ship.
Oh, the sassy ship.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if Nell was the whole ship or just that jack-o'-lantern at the top. But
yeah.
I just loved all of the interactions
yeah,
with Nell. It was
mean.
So, yeah.
yeah.
She's really mean.
She's very protective of Shad,
yeah.
but also mean.
But yeah. also, she's just like, also, I kind of felt like, why didn't the ship just go and do this?
Yeah. The ship rules, go do it.
Because 90% of the time, he yeah. was like, ah, there's an alien there. What
help.
Should we do? And the ship's like, I don't know, I'll just shoot him, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you're
you
a piece
can't
of shit,
do
Chad.
Anything.
Chad, whatever, Chad.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah. If I have one problem with this movie, it's that when Robert Vaughn died, why was there jam all over his face?
It did look like food.
It was
I thought that very
gross
thing.
As yeah. hell. Like, did his whole face explode and that's how he died?
Yeah. I also liked when Chad meets the hive mind people,
mm-hmm.
they make him point his gun at his head and whatever, and they're like, we see you had no intention to use the gun. He's like, Did you read my mind? And they go, among other things. I'm like, what?
Did you read my dick?
Did you look at my dick?
We read your mind, we read your dick, and we read your butthole.
I know you could read my mind. Meow, 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 meow.
That was pretty good. I was like, that was very suggestive.
Yeah. What did you do? I don't want you on my team anymore.
Yeah, we snatched your penis.
Look down, it's somebody else now. No.
Was that the penis pod? I read that this movie... because in classic Corman fashion, it cost a lot of money. He was going to get his money worth. There's a lot of other movies that use this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you go watch Space Raiders from 83, there's a lot of Battle Beyond the Stars in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I guess they also used footage from this movie in Star Quest II, Dead Space, Forbidden World. And they showed a clip of it in Bachelor Party.
Oh.
Yeah. I think they also used some of Horner's score in other movies, like, we're gonna this score rules, we're gonna use it everywhere.
Well, well, I take issue with that because the score does not rule. It's so basic.
I liked it.
Feels like he was just learning. It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine for what it is, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was exactly the Star Wars ripoff that it needed to be
yeah,
in music
just
as well.
It's a Magnificent Seven. I like at the beginning when the big Sador ship shows up. And their alarm crystal goes off and everyone goes, huh? And the ship comes in above them and they're all looking up at it. And Chad goes, what is it? It's a big fucking spaceship, Chad.
It's a spaceship.
You've got one over there.
You have those.
You know how to fly spaceships, you fucking ding dong.
Yeah, it's like if you saw a car. What the fuck is that? Well, it's a car. I've just never seen a green one.
Anyway, I got to get in my Acura and leave.
My blue Acura.
Oh, man. And the people, when they're coming in, and because they're still, they have a little satellite up there, too. Then there's two guys, and they're like, oh, we got visitors. And the one guy hailing is so, it's like he's so needy for, like, someone to come over.
Oh, I love that guy. He was so friendly.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? Welcome to our planet. Yeah. Who's there? Can you stay? Come inside.
I wrote in my notes, because I made notes for this, which I didn't apparently use at all. Friendliest astronaut.
Nice.
Which, they're not astronauts. I don't know why I wrote that, but he was so happy to be doing his job.
Yeah.
Liked him.
Do you guys think this movie would be as good as it is if they had used the original title Battle Amongst the Stars?
Well, that's what it is. It's not beyond the stars. The stars aren't back there.
No, they're all around.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny. Yeah. But we got to change this title.
Yeah.
What? It used to be Revenge of the Jedi, and now it's Return of the Jedi. Ooh, we changed our name too.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're just like Star Wars.
Did either of you see this at the, like, when you were younger?
No, I saw it. I remember the box.
Yeah,
like the VHS
I saw
box
the tape
sure.
a lot, but I never actually watched it.
Yeah,
it's delightful.
Yep,
it's a lot of fun.
It's not a movie. Now I've seen it twice. Mm-hmm. And it's not a movie you need to see twice, but
that plays into something that I wanted to talk about. So we asked people on our Facebook about their thoughts of this film, and the first one was Jeremy, who said his only comment beyond welcoming us back is that isn't this movie just lovely? It's so damn fun, and Papard is a space cowboy. Mm-hmm. But also, friend of the show Carlo asked us a Mary fuck kill question.
Oh.
And then one of his answers was a weird one, so I added another one so that they were all Star Wars related.
Yeah.
But he wants to know if we would marry, fuck, or kill Star Wars, Battle Beyond the Stars, and Ice Pirates. And to your note there about rewatching this movie, I think my answer to this is that I would marry Battle Beyond the Stars because I feel like every few years I'm going to want to watch this.
No.
I would fuck Ice Pirates because I feel like Ice Pirates is a good one and done watch. Like it's a fun movie.
I don't know.
I would watch it once and then I've seen Ice
Pirates like a bunch of times.
I can't believe
love Ice Pirates.
A movie that has not only booby ladies but even the ship's got tits. Like that's the one
you
fuck right there.
You need to fuck this movie, Dan.
You fuck this movie.
No, but I want to revisit this movie over time for like again and again.
You don't want to just have a one night stand.
Yeah, I think Ice Pirates for me would be like that's a really fun movie, but if I only saw it once, I could be done with it. And then Star Wars, I would kill just because I've had a lot of Star Wars. I can move on from Star Wars. I love it now.
Yeah,
but of those, what would you guys do for Mary? Fuck kill.
Well, I would marry Star Wars because, I mean, aside from this game, I would marry Star Wars if I could. And I would fuck this movie because of all the sexy spaceships.
And you would kill Ice Pirates.
I would kill Ice Pirates because every time I think about Ice Pirates, and I love Ice Pirates.
Yeah, that's so good.
But every time I think about it, I think about like the weird alien with like the weird tongue or something like that.
Yeah.
And it, like lick somebody and it just grosses me out. So if I have to kill Ice Pirates, I will fucking do it.
What about you, Greg?
Well, I'll probably marry Star Wars. Yeah. I'll probably fuck Battle Beyond the Stars. And you know what? I'm going to fuck Ice Pirates too, and I'll kill anybody who has a problem with it.
Nice.
So, I don't know if you're prepared to answer this, but this is another throwback to the time. What did we learn? What did you learn?
I learned that anytime I'm going in for an interview, I'm just going to say that I'm going to add tits to something in hopes to get hired.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll get you there.
James Cameron style.
I
learned, and I'm very serious about this. I cannot stress this enough that I want people to do this. Go find still images or just watch the movie. Richard Thomas's face.
Yeah.
He is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Travel it's not through just time. Like, oh, it kind of looks like it is.
I'm going to check it out.
They are the same dude.
I think I learned if I'm ever going to fly around in a ship and threaten some people that I'm going to take over their planet, I can't threaten them with just a regular converter or a pretty good converter. It's going to be a stellar converter.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking stellar, bro.
That thing.
I laughed every time they said that. The stellar converter.
Get the very good converter.
Is that good enough?
Yes.
Or could it be stellar?
Yeah.
Don't fuck with us. This is our best converter. We've got five converters, and this is hands down the best.
Well, we should listen to some music then.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
We get some song. We each throw in a song to the playlist.
And now all of these picks are related in some way to August of 1980, whether they were released then or however we wanted to theme it. You want to go first, Greg?
So now, again, we'll have a few other songs on our playlist here, and you're just going to have a track you're all about. And with, from a B-side, from a single that came out this year, Adam Ant's Physical.
Yo, so, physical!
Nice.
Which, I think the first time I heard it, actually, would have been the Nine Inch Nails cover that was, like, track 98 or 99 on the EP Broken, which I still think is the finest Nine Inch Nails release. It's my favorite. But you buy it on CD, and then there was just, like, it's only six tracks, but then it was, like, empty, 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 and then 98, 99.
Yeah, remember that dumb thing people used
to
do?
Yeah, really, it's really annoying, because I love the song, and it was fucking awesome. Then I realized it was an Adam Ant tune. It was around that time period Adam Ant had a comeback with that wonderful song. I had Ant music and Kings of the Wild Frontier and stuff when I was a younger fella. I quite like Adam Ant. Great shit.
Totally. But,
and this song is, once I realized it was his version and I got my hands on it, nothing wrong with the Nine Inch Nails one. I love it, but I fucking love this tune. And it's really different for him because it's grimy and it's got this pulsing thing and it's kind of menacing and it's just so fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't know why it wasn't on the album initially, you know?
Was the single that it was on?
So it's the B-side to Dog Eat Dog, which is a fine song, but it's a much better song. Just great. And I've always liked Adam and the Ants, a cool, weird band.
Yeah.
Lots of fucking solid ass hits.
Yeah.
And he had a nice little weird comeback in the 90s and just kept going. It deserves a second look if you kind of think you know what's going on. The albums are good.
Yeah.
Check out the Nine Inch Nails version as well. It is excellent. Just excellent. But it's a great song, and it seems out of character for the rest of his stuff in a very, very good way.
Nice.
Love it.
I'll go next. I am putting a song on the playlist by a band that I am, for listeners of Time Bandits, a longtime defender. I always push for people to check out this band because they have a reputation for being a novelty act, but I love the B-52s.
Oh, because they're great.
I love their first two records and other records of theirs as well. But those first two records are amazing. Their second album, Wild Planet, came out this month in 1980 in August. So the song I picked is Give Me Back My Man. Which is sung by Cindy Wilson in an incredible vocal performance. And I think that Ricky Wilson's one of the great guitarists of all time. Incredibly underrated. People just don't talk about how phenomenal and innovative he was as a guitarist and what he did for this band. Could never have been replaced when he passed away. But I love the B-52s. Give You Back My Man is just such a phenomenal, phenomenal song. That's about it. It's just wonderful. I love it.
Mm.
And if you think B-52s, as a listener, if you just think they're a funny novelty 80s, 90s thing, you know, go listen to those first two records. They're fucking amazing.
Remarkable.
Yeah, and in particular, listen to what Ricky Wilson did on those two records. It's unreal. Unreal. So yeah, Give Me Back My Man is on the playlist. Casey?
I am talking about a song that, for me, I shouldn't love this song. For some reason, I do. I am picking up The Clash song Bank Robber.
Great fucking song.
It's a great song. Now, I'm not big into kind of like reggae as it is.
Yeah.
I'm also not big into reggae tinged things, things that kind of like co-opt reggae and then like do something stupid to them. So, but this I think is that exception because the song is meandering a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 5-minute song.
Yeah. Not a lot of changes in it.
Not a lot of changes, which is a reggae thing, which is part of what I don't like about reggae. But it's got such a cool vibe. And it's filled up with a lot of like kind of filthy reverb and Joe Strummer. And it's captivating, or at least interestingly atmospheric all the way through.
Yeah.
It was and never should have been an album track. It was not an album track.
No, yeah.
It was a single that was later relegated to Black Market Clash,
yeah.
which
yeah,
is
like
their,
compilation
like a
thing.
Compilation yeah. thing. It was just one. It was just a song that was put out as a single that yeah. was just out there.
Yeah.
Didn't really do that much. It got to number 12 on UK charts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, didn't really do a ton for them. Mm-hmm. It was just like a cool little thing that yeah. just kind of a cool little satellite that existed.
I don't think I had heard it until you picked it for this episode.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And because I like The Clash a lot. Yeah. I've heard all their albums, but I haven't dove into everything they've done or their compilations mm-hmm. and stuff. So I was surprised, first of all, that it was so reggae tinged, and I was yeah. like, "Oh, Casey's Indians,
yeah.
okay."
Yeah, then, yeah, I know, it's surprising.
Yeah, and then yeah. I listened to it, and I was reading about it, and the idea that it was just a single, and they never wasn't on any albums and stuff. I was very intrigued by it, yeah. Yeah, but it rules.
It's yeah. great. It's very cool.
It yeah. was the first Clash song I ever heard. Well, that when I knew that I was listening to The Clash, yeah. I you know, just by being alive, you're aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
Should Rock I stay or should I go? And, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was watching Much Music, and it came on
video,
for whatever
yeah.
reason, and I just fucking loved it, and it led to me buying a Clash album for the first time. I bought Combat Rock because I couldn't find the song.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah, there was no Wikipedia. Yeah. You know, you just had to go yeah. to the record store and look, and I was looking at all the Clash cassettes, and it's not in anything, and I'm like, well, I like that, and I want this.
More of that,
you know. Yeah. So, and I think I must have recognized the title of "Should I Stare, Should I Go?" So I went
yeah.
for
oh, okay, yeah.
Combat Rock as my first Clash album, and you know, hey, that's a pretty good record.
Yeah,
it's a good record. Yeah. It might be my least favorite.
It's a good
Clash
get you
record,
into the Clash
did,
record.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty accessible record.
Yeah, when you're like 15 or 16 or whatever, you know. It's
yeah,
fine.
I guess London Calling would have been a lot of people's, but I do also feel like. That was one I saw around a lot was Combat Rock and
yeah.
I got it on vinyl when I was younger. Like, oh, The Clash,
yeah.
okay, Combat
it's,
Rock.
It's where
yeah.
you start.
Yeah. yeah.
I
yeah.
think that if you're like a big Clash fan and you don't say Sandinista is your favorite,
yeah.
fan,
right.
you're not a real Clash
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, yeah. I like the triple album.
But, yeah. but fuck that nonsense. London Calling is a perfect album.
Yeah.
Yeah, rules.
And the first one.
Yeah. yeah and Give Them Enough Rope is
listen, they're all
spotty,
very good,
but is fucking
for,
brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. check the notes for our link to the Spotify playlist and listen to that and those three yeah. and more. Lots of good music to listen to.
That's right. And watch Battle Beyond the Stars.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Totally.
It stars Scarlett Johansson as Richard Thomas.
yeah. And we'll be back next episode with something else from 1980.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We got to go back in time, right?
Yeah. We got to go back to the present.
Okay.
Yeah. Hop in my DeLorean.
Whee!
We're back.
All right. Very nice.
If you want to follow us and find us online, as we mentioned earlier, go to anchor.fm/time-bandits. Mm-hmm. Or we are on Twitter still as Time Bandits Pod.
Yeah.
And I believe you can also search Time Bandits on Facebook and you'll find us there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also search Time Bandits on Spotify. The episodes will go up there if you're mm-hmm. a Spotify user.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that.
Nice to be back, fellas.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Very.
We don't know what our next movie's going to be, right?
No, not yet.
But we did ask people for a list of stuff through a voting kind of scenario. So we do have kind of a list of potential next episodes. So
yeah.
We'll have to be back in a month. All right. What's our sign off for this show?
Did we have something?
I don't remember.
Was there a thing?
I don't know.
Who does?
I think we just kind of said some stuff and then
we were like,
everything
see you later.
Just kind of like
and then just
fell apart.
Yeah,
it's kind of like what's happening right now.
Yeah,
very nice.
It's like no time has passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Later in time. Thank you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.